Time is 2:40, the date being 19 January 1984. Thursday, place being room 124, the judiciary hearing room located in Capitol at Juneau, Alaska. Members of the committee present here today and all members of the committee, with the exception of Representative Malone and Representative Winty. Matters at issue before the committee today are House Bill 445, an act relating to attorney fees, and sponsor substitute for House Bill 444, an act relating unlawful restraint of a minor. Today's meeting was delayed because four of the people that sat on the committee had to go to a council meeting that lasted longer than anybody expected. My pleasure that we deal with House Bill 445 first, as a first order of business. The two persons signed to make statements on the bill are both legislators and both have busy schedules. Representing Jerry Ward, if you could join us at the base of the table. Since we are recording electronically, I will need you to state your name for the record prior to receiving a statement on the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Jerry Ward. I am representative from District 13 in Anchorage, and I'm here to speak in support of House Bill 445. I'd like to draw to your attention some personal knowledge that I happen to have about public interest suits. I currently am the prime sponsor of such an animal, and I would like to inform you that I have filed it against various regional and native corporations and attorneys that represent them. And it has come to my attention, and from working with Representative Liska, the prime sponsor of this bill, that there is a lack of determination exactly on what a public interest suit is. And to me, setting out the criteria is this: I think that this would be a fair and justifiable thing instead of leaving it up to a Rule 82, which is what the courts are now going by, which states nothing. It doesn't say what the test and criteria for being a public interest suit is. And I think as far as the awarding of attorney fees, if the state is going to encourage the awarding of attorney fees, and the state is going to encourage public interest lawsuits, then the state needs to address upfront, before they are determined and adjudicated, what is a public interest lawsuit, and also if they are going to encourage public interest lawsuits to be filed, then a mechanism should be set up where they're going to pay for the public interest lawsuits instead of letting companies and individuals and corporations pay for suits even though they may win them. And I think that what we have here is if we are in the situation where I feel society, public interest suits are a needed factor. I believe that they are one of the few safeguards that we have against maybe wrongdoings, and there are a lot of us and there are a lot of people that believe that to go to court and stand up in the rights of the public is a very important function to keep a check and balance system. But who is going to pay for that check and balance system? If we're going to encourage it, then the state needs to put it down in writing, and that is exactly what this statute does. It says, what is a public interest suit? It doesn't say it anywhere in the statutes or anywhere in the rules. It is an interpretation, and that is what Representative Liska's bill does. And I also think that they ought to address the fact on beforehand a predetermination of a test on who is going to pay for the public interest. If the state Supreme Court says we want these things, we encourage these things, which I don't disagree with, then they need to make a determination on who's going to pay for it. Just because somebody is a private corporation does not necessarily mean that they are the ones that are going to be stuck for the entire bill, although that is what the now interpretation is, and we need to address that, and I hope this committee considers that. I'd be glad to answer any questions. I know I'm very vague on it because the simple matter is that I don't truly understand it, and I think the reason I don't is because all there is some lawyers' rulings, and they get to interpret judges' rulings, and they get to interpret what they think up on an individual basis what public interest is. It's not written down. We as a legislature need to take the initiative now and put exactly in writing what we mean and what public interest is and what qualifies for public interest and what the test is. Just because I may be the president of the Let's Save the Birch Bark on the north sides of the Trees Club. That does not necessarily mean it's public interest for me to go up and put a stop work order or initiate a suit that would stop work somewhere. Then again, on the other hand, if I'm going to actually save the state of Alaska and I have the best interest in public's minds, there should be a mechanism where that can be measured and weighed, and we know that determination up front instead of having to go through 3 years of court proceedings to find out whether or not it is a public interest suit.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Members, questions of the members of the committee? Representative Foster.
Well, you've really got me confused now. I do know what the rule is on public interest lawsuits. I guess I'd argue with you about how definite the rule is or is not. It's, in my opinion, absolutely clear. But let me try to get, not only ask you your opinion, but your interpretation of the bill. What the rule of law is that if a case is determined to be a case in the public interest, then a losing party does not have to pay the winning party's attorney's fees. That's the rule.
Okay.
As I read this statute, that would reverse that. And I didn't get that from your testimony that that's what you wanted. Your testimony was you wanted to put criteria in there to allow or encourage public interest lawsuits to continue, and what I read from the bill is that you are reversing the rule in public interest cases.
I would hope that that is not what we're doing. What we're doing with the bill is we're defining it, because these four criteria, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, are not being upheld by the Supreme Court State of Alaska. They are guidelines, but they are not mandated by them in their rules or in their statutes that they must follow. Okay, and they are interpreting upon a per case basis what a public interest suit is. I do not think that that is a proper role for them to be doing. I would like to, whether this is the language that is finally agreed upon on what a public interest suit is, I don't know. I think it's good. There's no due processes or wherefores in there. It's almost plain English. So I kind of like it. But it is not the purpose of this section, in my opinion, and I do not want to cause. It's the courts, the Supreme Court's act right now, where they want to encourage, and not encourage, but they want to make it a free-flowing system where we have a public interest suits. Now, to my following and my thinking is that there's not an abuse for the discretion of a court to award this. Now, what I would like to do is if it's determined that a public interest suit is brought, then if it's only partially, if we have criteria, not all of it's met, and if it's a frivolous suit, like myself, I'm involved in a suit now. If a portion of my public interest that I'm involved with in is considered not in the public interest, and that portion and or all of it should be fined attorney fees. We should have to pay that. But we should know up front whether or not it is, there's no guidelines on what is a public interest suit right now. And maybe, you know, you are more familiar with the rules and stuff, but the rules don't state these four things. These four things are created from Geis's judges' rulings, as they make rulings off the bench. It's not written down nowhere.
Well, if I can continue, of course, this state has a whole body of laws that are not passed by the legislature, and they're Supreme Court opinions. That's the common law. That's rules that are set down by the Supreme Court. The four criteria in this bill are, if my memory is correct, almost identical to the rules that have been set down by the Supreme Court. I don't see how you can say there are no standards now. All you're doing is, first of all, putting them in a statute, which I don't have much problem with, but the key language at the top reverses the effect of it. What the Supreme Court now says is if you have a lawsuit that fits those four criteria, and you lose, you're not going to have to pay the other person's attorney's fees. What this bill says, if you have a case that complies with those four criteria, you're going to have to pay the attorney's fees. So you've directly reversed what has happened. I guess I'm not convinced by your criteria argument, because the criteria are absolutely clear in the Supreme Court. Nobody can really object to it, and of course, that's why Judge Compton's decision was reversed, because he had those criteria in front of him and chose to ignore them.
Okay, I believe that they have the discretion to ignore these four criteria. At least they, and I could be wrong. Of course, I'm appealing that to a federal court anyway upon a case that I'm involved in. But now, if I may, the reason that this reversal has been is put in there is so that if people are going to file suits, they need to have some form of, if they're going to file a suit, and I say this is a public interest suit, there has to be an upfront way, and I'm not sure if this is a proper mechanism, say here's a public interest suit. Now, just because Representative Malone files one, he calls it public interest, that does not mean it's public interest. He needs to know the day he files it or a week later or whatever, at the first thing, a judge needs to make a determination saying, this is not a public interest suit, and so under this here, you are going to have to pay, you're going to have to pay fees. Now, or you can say, there's a question whether this is a public interest suit. See, there's I'm not sure of the formula we need to follow, but we need to have a determination of what, from a judge system when it is.
You're partially right, there were many thoughts, and maybe I can help clarify.
All right.
The four criteria are part of the Supreme Court's criteria only. The lower courts, the trial court, doesn't have discretion to use them if it wants to. What this bill does is allow the lower court to exercise that discretion and award the fees at that level. That's essentially what the bill does. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't change the criteria. It doesn't do anything like that at all.
We haven't even got to the merits of the bill yet. We're still trying to define what it does. Let me try. The criteria in this bill are exactly the same.
Sure, same thing.
Roughly the same. What the Supreme Court says, and it is binding on lower courts, what the Supreme Court says is if you sue in a public interest case and lose, you're not going to have to pay the other guy's attorney's fees. If you sue and lose and it's not a public interest case, you are going to have to pay the other guy's attorney's fees. That's what the rule is in Alaska now.
Doesn't really say that the Supreme Court alone right now has the discretion to assess those attorney fees if it sees fit?
No. They have set criteria which are to be used by the lower courts in deciding these issues. And in fact, some of the material that you see there discusses in detail that most of these cases are resolved in the lower courts because those criteria are absolutely clear. At any rate, the real issue here is whether or not you ought to have to pay the loser's attorney's fees in a public interest lawsuit. Right now, that's the ultimate issue. Right now, if it's a public interest lawsuit, you do not. If it is not a public interest lawsuit, you have to. If I sue Hugh Malone because he ran into my car, and I sue him for the damages, there's no public interest there, and if I sue him and lose, I have to pay his attorney's fees. But if I sue Hugh Malone and say that a royalty oil contract was illegally entered into, it's an issue of importance to the entire state, and I lose, under the present rule, I don't have to pay him attorney's fees to pay his public interest lawsuit. That's the rule that would be changed by this bill.
Just so we're clear. He couldn't seek them. This would allow you to seek them. It doesn't really mean you have to pay them.
Well, you would, because that's what Court Rule 82 says.
Representative Barnes?
Well, several times, Representative Clarkson has said the direction of the court, and now he said court rule. Is there a promulgated court rule that outlines four criteria outlined in this bill?
No. I was going to get to that point. Civil Rule 82, which Representative Ward referred to, is the rule on attorney's fees, which says prevailing party gets his attorney's fees paid.
But there is
a court-created exception to that.
But there is no court rule that says these four things.
No, there is not. But let me say that you can't take the next step and say, therefore, there's no law on the subject. It's a Supreme Court law. I mean, it's the law of the land.
But
there's case decisions, is what you're saying, but not a court rule.
I think what the problem is, if I may, Mr. Chairman, is what we have under Rule 82 is it doesn't state and it does not address under Civil Rule. It gives it, Civil Rule 32 says, 82 says you can do a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't talk about what and how public interest suits should be awarded, or if they even should be. If we're going to encourage public interest suits, which I think we should, we need to make a determination as a legislature who's going to pay for them, who's encouraging them, who's discouraging them. We're not doing that. Should just whoever happens to get sued have to pay the whole burden of it, because it's a lost situation? I'm on the opposite end of this now, and I guarantee you that these four criteria by our Alaska Supreme Court are not being followed ironclad. That I can state for you right now. But it's, and if you can show me where they're written in there, and I would be glad to go over that, but that is almost a conflict of interest in my own little personal world.
Well, do you want to talk about your personal case? Maybe that's the best example, but
sure.
You mentioned something about federal court.
Well, that's where you go next, and that's on determining what a public interest suit is.
Well, you see, this legislation wouldn't affect anything in federal court. So if you're
It does if your state court refuses to address issues in a systematic manner. Now, so what's fair for the Sierra Club should be fair for another public interest group, too.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. Let's get the thing down in writing. I don't have the juice the Sierra Club's got, but by gosh, I got a couple of Indians that I represent, and you know that's, you know. But let's all deal from the same thing. I don't. Where does the determination come? We've gone through 7 years of court battles finding out what public interest is, and we're back to ground zero now, starting over. Where do we determine it at? I don't know where. And apparently the Supreme Court keeps throwing it back down another court, too. They don't really want to touch it either. So I don't see where it hurt. If you want to change on the actual who pays, that's fine. But I would really like to get these four things in the statute that says what a public interest is. And once that's in the statute, I would sure feel comfortable.
Okay. I agree with you that we should encourage public interest cases. I agree with you that there should be clear criteria for what those are. We disagree about whether those criteria already exist or whether we need this bill. If that's the case, on line 10, would you agree to an amendment to delete the word not?
It's not my bill. I tell you what, just to me personally, I figure nobody ought to be filing one of these suits unless they're absolutely sure they're going to win.
So well, that's not encouraging them then. That's discouraging them.
Okay, who's going to pay? Should the state pay if we're going to encourage them? I don't mind that. I don't mind setting up a fund and encouraging these things. I could care less. I think it's in the public interest to have these suits. Otherwise, big companies are going to stomp all over us all the time. Now look at the canning and pulp industry. It's always been this way. You've got to have a mechanism. Do we force ARCO to pay? Now, if it's in the state's best interest, in my best interest, let's let some tax dollars pay for this stuff. I don't know the answer. I really don't. I don't want to do away with them, that's for sure.
Well, okay, I guess...
So, yes,
if you keep talking about encouraging them, you're going to discourage them if this bill passes in its present form.
I can see your interpretation. I really can.
Yeah.
And I think that's something for the committee to decide. I would not want to discourage them. Of course, I wouldn't want to not have the language on what we're talking about get it in the statute either.
Thank you, everybody, for your short comment.
Thank you. I kept that as many as I can. Just one last comment. There is one case in here, since I had a conflict, that was referring to a Donald Clarkson versus the Alaska Bar Association, and since we're... For his own, you know, I just wanted the rest of the committee to know that that's one of the cases that we
actually,
utilized.
There's two lawsuits that I was involved
in. Oh, two in here, I'm sorry.
I happen to know a little bit about conflict of interest. I mean, special public interest lawsuits.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman. I've got a shorter time. Senator Pageon, you find this? Senator Pageon says we are recording.
Actually, there's another one I was involved in that isn't listed.
I'm retired from making a short statement on the subject.
I'm Fritz Pageon, represent South Anchorage in the State Senate. I agree with Representative Coxon about the fact that this bill would not change in any significant way what it is and is not a public interest lawsuit. It's clear in the court decisions this doesn't change anything. Representative Ward apparently has a problem with the application of this language to his individual case, which I'm not familiar with, but that doesn't change. What it does, and Mr. Coxon misstated what this does not say that a losing plaintiff in a public interest lawsuit is going to pay attorney's fees. It says the judge can, under certain circumstances, if it's fair and just and equitable, award attorney's fees to a defendant who has gone to considerable personal expense to defend himself against a plaintiff who, while not frivolous, because if he's frivolous, he won't get attorney's fees, attorney's fees can be awarded against him. There's some merit, so it's not frivolous. But if you've got something like the Sierra Club, who's suing a miner who hasn't got anything other than a pick and a shovel and trying to make a living out on a creek, and he has to mortgage his future to defend himself from a massive legal organization such as Trustees for Alaska or something like that.
Resource Development Council.
True. Cuts both ways. But it's up to the judge, and it's up to the judge's discretion. And anybody who's looked at Rule 82 and the cases decided they're under knows that there's enormous discretion which is allowed in any individual case, dealing sometimes in the manner in which it is prosecuted, whether it is being done in a dilatory manner, whether there is unnecessary expense, which attorneys have harassed a defendant during the course of a proceeding. And after all, let's remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody who gets sued and wins. And we're just saying the judge can, if he wants to, in his discretion, award attorney's fees in an amount that he thinks is appropriate. So I think that is a perfectly reasonable situation. It does not really impinge on the court system's ability to control public interest litigation. What it does is it allows the superior court level, who after all have a great deal more familiarity with the case, the parties, and the attorneys in any individual matter than the Supreme Court does, whose Supreme Court has just issued a blanket rule. We're giving some discretion to the court to deal with these kinds of things if this legislation is passed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Coxon?
Senator, I guess we have to agree to disagree on the effect of the existing law. You're saying that if this bill became law, it would be a matter of discretion for the court about whether to award attorney's fees to a prevailing party. I would submit that's not the case, that in fact it is mandatory under Civil Rule 82.
Well, I disagree.
Well, we need a legal opinion on that, because
you got one and I got one, so we've got two of them.
Let me read the rule. In actions where a money judgment is not an accurate criteria for determining the fee to be allowed to the prevailing side, which is these kind of cases are not normally money damages, they're injunctions and stuff, the court shall award a fee commensurate with the amount and value of legal services rendered.
Well, there's all kinds of exceptions to that, Mr. Coxon, as you're well aware of. You can look under the annotations under Rule 82 and find half a dozen what the court has carved out exceptions for.
But none of them that grant total discretion to a trial court to not award them to the prevailing party that I'm aware of.
Now, say that again.
No court opinion that I'm aware of ignores Rule 82 and grants total discretion to a superior court to award attorney's fees or not. The rule is clear. As a matter of fact, our Bar Association has had many debates over the issue of whether this rule is a good idea, because it requires the court to award attorney's fees to the prevailing party, unless it's
isn't that what we're talking about here, Mr. Coxon? You said there's an exception within the rule itself to most of the kind of public interest
just
litigation
public
we're
interest,
talking about.
But what this bill does is repeal the public interest exception. What
no,
that
doesn't.
Means, then, is there's no discretion.
No, it doesn't.
This bill does not repeal the public interest exception?
No. Only part of it.
Well, I guess maybe we can get a legal opinion or something on the interpretation of Rule 82. It's my impression that the Superior Court does not have discretion to refuse to award attorney's fees to a prevailing party.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think that Mr. Foxham is right up to the point, but I think that it is in a bit of discretion as to how much that attorney's fee will be. The attorney who's asking for fees might have considerably higher request or petition for attorney's fees than the court allows. And I know Mr. Foxham because at one time I allowed no attorney's fees and was reversed and said I had to give him something. So I gave him something, but it wasn't very much.
That may have been in a, if I can continue the exchange, that may have been in a dollar amount case where there was a dollar award, but I submit that there is no discretion where it's these injunction kind of cases, because it says shall award a fee commensurate with the amount and value of legal services rendered.
You know, the case I had in mind, Mr. Foxham, did not involve a dollar award. and was, in my estimation, whether I was wrong or not, was really not worth really coming into court with. And the attorney who represented the prevailing side appealed to the higher court to grant attorney's fees, and I did have to grant some attorney's fees, but not in the amount that the attorney requested.
Oh, that's so, clear. So in that, they always ask for more than
so
they
in that. So in that effect, the judge has, the court has some discretion with what I'm trying to say.
Would you like another
attorney's opinion? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Representative Clarkson failed to, I think, mention that the first line in Rule 82 states, unless the court, in its discretion, otherwise directs. Now, if that doesn't give him discretion, I don't know what does.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're arguing a theoretical point. I think it is important, though, because this is the rule that will apply if this bill passes. That language has been interpreted by the Supreme Court to read that the court has, as in the case referred to here, has the discretion about what the dollar amount will be in certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
They have no discretion but to award attorney's fees to the prevailing.
What about a divorce case?
Well,
they don't award,
don't know,
they don't award
individual
divorce cases. There's a specific
case.
Exception created for it.
Except for things like the public interest exception, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know how important it is, but if we pass this bill, we'd like to, I suppose we ought to know what the impact would be, and I submit the impact is that the prevailing party will always have the right to attorney's fees, and I'm not sure that's good policy.
Well, I think they'll argue that in court. I think it's a good
thing. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here that wishes to make a statement on document 445.
I had one. Can we get a question?
Since we are recording electronically, I need you to state your name and the time to make a statement on something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jack Goddard. I'm an aide for Representative Schultz. Thank you for this opportunity to present my views on this.
I'm sorry, I just realized the impact on Representative Schultz of this bill.
I favor this piece of legislation because, in my opinion, it should deter most flippant injunctions filed with intent to stop work file projects, classed as public interest cases. An example of this is one of the cases in your packets wherein John Snobble, the owner of the Lumber Mill in Haines, actually won his case. I believe this is a good example of winning the battle and losing the war. If this piece of legislation were law, he might still be in business, or perhaps he could have at least resumed his business had he been compensated for his attorney's fees. There's another case of a miner in central Alaska who was deterred from building a road into his mine by an environmental agency. This happened a year or so ago. He too won his case, but he lost a year of income and work, and his men had to look for other jobs. This was classed as a public interest case because of the claim by the environmental agency that he's operating without a permit and was alleged to be raping the countryside. I suspect that his attorney fees consumed a large amount of his cash reserves that he would have used for his operations. Another example which I am familiar is that of a service station operator in Glen Allen who was stopped by a government agency for putting gravel fill on his property so he could have a solid foundation in which to put his buildings. Fortunately, he had a good lawyer who kept him out of court, and he was able to continue his project. If he had gone to court, the project would have been delayed at least a year, created a severe hardship on him, as well as an economic hardship on Glen Allen, where the growth rate is sometimes compared to watching paint dry at 50 below. This case would have been classed as a public interest case through the application of the wetland statutes. Our laws today do not allow the judge to grant compensation to the prevailing party by awarding attorney fees. This bill partially corrects this inequity by allowing the judge to award attorney fees at his discretion to the prevailing party in a public interest case. A project may be a profitable venture for a private enterprise and may at the same time be a benefit to the community by providing a tax base and employment. Due to these attributes, the court case will be classed as a public interest and is fair game for injunctions, suits, or other court action because under present law, the person filing a complaint knows that if he loses, he will not have to pay the prevailing party's attorney fees. He really doesn't have much stake in it. This bill will correct that. As an advocate of orderly development in Alaska, I strongly support this piece of legislation.
Mr. Goddard, if this bill became law, would Representative Schultz have to pay the attorney's fees in his lawsuit on confirmations?
It was a public interest thing, but it was classed as public interest.
If this bill became law.
And he prevails?
And he's lost.
And he loses?
Assuming he loses all the way.
If it becomes law, and he loses, and his bill is a public interest, the judge could, I would say,
he'd have to pay
award attorney fees to the prevailing party.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if we can find any cases that are good examples, because they're always so complicated. For instance, Bill says a non-governmental entity, so I guess there'd be attorney's fees that could be assessed in some cases and not in others. I'm not sure, but, I mean, we're talking about the suit that Representative Clarkson brought up.
He sued individuals, of course.
Yeah, well, I guess so. But I'm going to come back to this, and I was trying to follow this. As I understand it, this does, in effect, reverse a public interest exemption as far as the plain language of the exception, rather. Plain language of the exception is if this memorandum that we have from Legislative Affairs Legal Services is correct, where the court's exception, as it says, is that it is an abuse of discretion to award attorney's fees against a losing party's in good faith raised a question of public interest. Then this bill would say it's not an abuse of discretion for a court to award attorney's fees in a public interest case to a prevailing party. And that qualifies that by saying that that is a non-governmental entity. But, so it seems to me it pretty clearly does do that. I mean, that the criteria, as far as I can tell, are the same and so forth, but it does, it would, in effect, reverse the policy laid down by the court, and surely it leaves discretion. But what it does, whereas right now the court says it is an abuse of discretion to do this bill would say it is not an abuse of discretion. So that part of it, I think, seems to be fairly clear. Now, am I reading this wrong, or is I'd like to ask committee counsel?
Well, I think that the language of the bill would reverse the public interest exception that it made by setting forth this criteria.
If I understand the Supreme Court's exception, it's called an exception, public interest exception to Rule 82, but in fact what it is a prohibition in certain types of cases against awarding attorney's fees against the losing party.
Yes, mm-hmm. The
Supreme Court said it is an abuse of
discretion. But it really is. Yes. If that is binding upon the trial court, okay. And this would reverse that, in my view, and make it not binding, but give the Superior Court, the trial courts, the discretion to grant attorneys in particular cases.
Okay, and because, Mr. Chairman, I have one other question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Then I'm going to have to cut it off.
Through the chair to counsel, that because this isn't set out specifically in a court rule, because it was handed down in a decision from the bench there, that the statute doesn't require to change any court rules. It's not really changing Rule 82. It's changing the exception that came down in a court opinion.
Okay.
Quick question.
Real quick. That's the point at which we break down. I may agree that this body can repeal the public interest exception without changing a court rule. If you repeal the exception, then you go back and use Rule 82. But this bill also attempts to change Rule 82 by making it discretionary. It is not discretionary in Rule 82, despite the testimony by Senator Pettijohn, and that's the point that I think I'd like a legal opinion on. Because if you repeal the exception, you go right into Rule 82.
We'll get that's that not legal opinion does. By tomorrow. Gail, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We got held up today. They're impatient in the hall. Representative List and I are resource members.
It's
all contract day. We'll take this up at first order business right off the whole ground.
The question is whether these criteria which do not exist in relation to
the fact of being inserted. I appreciate it. And those of us else, I appreciate it if you come back tomorrow.
I'm sorry, are we moving over 444 until tomorrow?
Yeah, and 444. Just move no more than you do them first thing out. This legislative council thing is something I couldn't control and it went on and on. So if there's nothing further to come for us, I'll stand against the 135.